Welcome to the Baseballer Show. Baseballer Show fam, get ready. From the streets of Savannah, Georgia, 13-year big leaguer, gold glover, World Series champ, but most importantly, a Hall of Pretty Gooder. When he stepped to the plate, players didn't just hear the crack of the bat. They heard the sweet, sultry sax of the careless whisper echoing through the ballpark. Whether it was robbing home runs like Spider-Man, blasting moonshots into the seats, or rocking his lucky Speedo, he brought his own style. The limousine riding, woo! Jet flying, kiss stealing, wheeling dealing, son of a gun, Josh Reddick.
How we doing? How are we doing, DR?
Did we do you justice there, Rick?
That was a great intro. That was like almost like very WWE-esque.
I'm glad I could bring that to you, man. I'm glad you appreciate it, dog. All right, so we're going to start out with our Baseballer Blitz. This is brought to you by Triton. Home run if you love it, strikeout if you don't. Number one, you look better in a Speedo than Michael Phelps. Home run or strikeout?
Strikeout.
Give yourself some credit, my man.
I'm retired, but even in my prime, that guy is absolutely a specimen. I mean, what, he's got, is it 14 individual gold medals?
I think.
Olympic record, so I mean, that's not even close comparison there.
I appreciate the humility, man. Big bat flips after home runs. Home run or strikeout?
Strikeout. I'm not for it. I'm old school. If I did that when I was coming up, my own teammates would have kicked my own ass.
Hell yeah. You had the best World Series speech ever. Home run or strikeout?
Probably strikeout. It was good. I don't know if best ever. I mean, it's funny. And I was off the team when it happened. Like Corey Seager's speech. Like, I guess we'll never know. Iconic.
Great.
Very good. I don't know if it's the best in history. Like, that's one that pops up in our head. But that's, you know, I'm sorry, Astros fans, but that's just great. I mean, you know, you get him back. That's what happens. You win the World Series, you're allowed to say that.
Exactly. You got whatever you want to say, man. You see the bobblehead day they did for him where it's literally.
I did. How great is that?
That's sick. That is sick.
I do how like the game's, you know, progressing in that direction where like kind of trash talking is more of a thing now.
Exactly. The ABS challenge system. Home run or strikeout, Josh?
Ooh. Can I say catcher's interference?
I know, man. I know. Why?
Help me. Huge catcher's interference guy. I'm 50-50 on it. Like there's nights where like when I'm watching the games, I'm like, man, they could really use this. And then at times, like it's gonna mess up the hitter a lot more than it's gonna do anything for the pitcher. Cause like you get like, I always use the example, like a Justin Verlander good curveball or Senga's curveball that he threw last night. Like those things are gonna come down up here, but they're gonna touch the box on its way down. So like that's where I'm kind of in that flawed gray area for it. So but it is progressing to where like it's you know, social media makes things so much more
totally.
Yes, you know, acknowledgeable. Like everybody can see it. I have more of an opinion about it. Like even 5 years ago, you didn't really see or hear much about how awful umpires are. Like you got to realize we've all had scuffles with umpires, but their job is harder than anybody's on that.
Man.
Their job is way harder than ours. Like
stuff keeps getting better.
You think about facing Shohei Ohtani and facing 100 and he throws you that nasty splitter and then a 72 mile an hour curveball. Like, that's not just the hitter reacting. Like that's an umpire not knowing what's coming too. And, you know, most of these guys are, like, close to senior citizens, so
yeah,
it's not easy. So I'm off. Like, I've gotten ejected. I've yelled at plenty of umpires in my career fans. We got to cut them some slack at some point. There's got to be a human element in this game.
I couldn't agree more, man. I think it's such a weird gray area because, again, it's like you want them to make the right calls and the egregious ones, of course. Yep. But, okay, a situation like this, I always put it like this. Catcher slotted on the inside half, right? Fastball, outside corner, reaches across, drags the glove. Everything, but it clips the corner by this. You tap this and it's a strike. It's like, yeah. To me, that ain't no strike.
That's where you can, I think that's where you kind of fix it to in the challenging system. Like if it, you got to change the look, if it's just touching, like that's a little like, you got to have, let's say half of the baseball has to be in it.
Yeah. Something like you that.
Know, there's enough technology where they can tell if it's more than half of the baseball on the edge. And that's where I figure they can like kind of get into it a little bit better.
Because gets to like, a weird gray area.
A millimeter touching the top right corner that, like, you're going to get ejected for that anyway. Because, like, everybody in baseball knows that's not a strike. The catcher and the pitcher, everybody knows that's not a strike.
Exactly. The Dodger fans are the best in baseball. Home run or strikeout?
Platinum sombrero strikeout. 4-5, 9-game strikeout.
Oh, man.
There's a pot early this morning. I love it. I get into it with at least six Dodger fans a day on social media.
I was going to say, it's got to be easy for you nowadays, man.
So much fun. You know, it's social media. Everybody believes everything. So I can literally say what I want. And people will just, you know, and all that stuff. So it's great. And, you know, what a great, you know, and nothing against that franchise. I love playing for that team. And, but, you know, me and the fan base, we just don't see eye to eye.
I get it, man. I get it. I can see why. Allow hockey style fighting in baseball. Home run or strikeout?
Home run. There's, I mean, that's another flaw with baseball. Like, if you get taken out, you're done. That's like what the one sport you do that in, except for soccer. I mean, soccer is the only one where you like only get three of them anyway. But like, yeah, I'm all for it. Like, let them fight. Play a man down. That's what they, you know, that's your fault. Like, if you want to, you know, do that, you know. And then you can time it well too. Like, say your four hole hitter is coming up for the other team, you go get in a fight with him against your left fielder who's your worst hitter.
Strategy.
Hey, here comes the eighth inning.
Strategy, man. You got to play. Yeah, you gotta play the game.
I'm all for it. I think was it Trevor May that said it? Talked about it not too long ago about it. So yeah, I'm all for that. I love that factor because, or no, it's Pete Alonso. Pete Alonso.
Okay.
But yeah, I'm all for it. Get you. You know, think about more fans. How many more fans that would bring into the game?
If you watch
money, and then you put them in a, you know, obviously you get like a box, like a penalty box that's completely boxed in. You know, at that point, fans are gonna be throwing like hot dogs and stuff.
Yeah.
So
talk about entertainment, man. Why do you think they come to hockey games?
They're gonna pay to come to the game just for that. We don't care about baseball. I just want to see Vlad Guerrero Jr.
Yes.
Go up against Christian Walker. You know, like,
yes. Could you imagine?
I want to see two powerhouses go at it.
I love it. I love it. Hey, we got to move on to fan questions. We got a fan question for you here, Josh. This one's from Scooter Jeanette. I don't know if you ever heard of him, but where did you learn your
name, Scooter Jeanette?
Yeah, that one. That one. He's a cool fan of the show, friend of the show,
Scooter Great guy. Jeanette.
So where did you learn your wall climbing skills?
Well, you know, I think it all starts when you're that kid in the backyard. You know, just game seven, World Series, you're in your head and you throw that pop fly over the foot. We always had I think it was like a 6 or 7, 8 foot wooden fence when I was a kid. So you always try to time your throw, rob it. I mean, I was doing that daily, but you know, you practice those things coming up in the minors and, batting practice, you know, batting practice, robbing homers is so fun because everybody's usually watching. And as soon as you do it, you know, everybody on the field goes, oh, yeah. So, and then it's even cooler in a game. So.
Got to be one of the coolest plays in baseball.
Whatever it would take to catch that ball, whether it was climbing, jumping, diving, and running into that wall.
I love it. I love it. So, I want to keep this funny. I want to keep this good. But, dude, I saw a great story on you. Obviously, you're known for talking your mind, being a hilarious guy that you are, dude. But I saw you help build a fully accessible baseball field for kids with special needs. Talk about that.
Yeah, so that was actually a dream of mine. Actually kind of inspired by my father. For those that don't know, my dad was a lineman for the power company in Savannah, Georgia. Got electrocuted, over 7,000 volts ran through his body, lost hair up, and then lost two fingers on his right hand. Was claimed dead twice, brought back twice, still with us today.
Damn.
So handicapped for life, never knew his hands. So definitely a different life. So inspired by that. And then when I became a senior in high school, a teammate of mine actually kind of were like, you know, this is something we want to do together where we could build this $1 million stadium in the area. And then, you know, I just kind of progressed and I finally got to where I had enough funds to reach out. And I used to have a foundation back in my hometown to help raise money for my local high schools, for groups that I sponsored, special need groups over there. And they really inspired it too. And so every week in the baseball season, they go out there and play. You know, everybody can be on an electric wheelchair, push wheelchair.
That's sweet.
Everything's accessible. It's all turf. You know, the dugouts are in there. There's no gum, no seeds, nothing allowed on there because upkeep is crazy. And then I've got a big red wall in right field inspired by Fenway and the Green Monster. So, but it's called the Red Wall with two Ds. And it's called, and it's the whole thing's Josh Reddick Stadium. So it's kind of fully inspired by that. And, you know, this group that I sponsored back home called the Navigators, they were a big reason why, and we made sure that we took care of them every year. We get them shoes through New Balance. We get them all kinds of clothes.
That's so cool.
People we took care of. So I always just wanted to give back. If you're making, you know, that's where you come from. You got to show love, and kind of it was my thing. I want to improve it. I want to make it at least better than it is. And you know, that's not a bash to my hometown. It's saying it's bad, but I just want to leave it better than what I
can. Of course.
So that's something that, you know, kids from hundreds of miles around look forward to now. And
exactly.
I grew up going to like East Cobb, Atlanta. And like, that was our big thing. Like going up there and playing on those fields was elite.
Exactly.
I host tournaments down there in my hometown, which I therefore brings more revenue into my hometown. So it's not just about making my town better, but it's helping bring money in. It's helping kids get an experience that they would really rarely get to do and play on such cool fields. And it's stadium covered. So it's got stadium bleacher seats and it's all completely covered. So, and it's got the big, nice fans that you need in the South. So it's not just the kids that are in luxury, mom and dad and fans are coming as well to really enjoy it. And it's a really, really good place to take part in and to visit too. If you get a chance, I highly recommend going and checking it out. It's out there. It's out in the country, but it is a gorgeous place. And not just that, it's a great facility. The facility that it's built in has, you know, baseball fields as well as the nice brand new indoor gym for recreational basketball. And, you know, the man that it's named after, Clarence Morgan, I'm not with us anymore, but he was a guy who ran the recreation department before I was even born and did it all the way until he passed. So a guy that I really respected and got a lot of great ideas from and who really helped move that project along as well.
That's so cool, man. Dude, when I saw that, I was like, you are known for like the funny, crazy stuff. But I'm like, that's something I feel people should need to know about you, man. Cause that's, I looked at that. And I was like, that is something that we've interviewed a lot of people and that's not always what we see when we see headlines.
MLB did a story on it too. So if you ever want to check it out, MLB did a story on it. And I think it's infield chatter, I think is what they do it through. So they've got it on there. So it's a really great story because they went down there with cameras and they had, you know, footage of when it started and then the break groundbreaking and everything.
So sick, man.
A really good story about it.
Love it. I love it, man. But going back to the beginning roots, obviously that's your hometown. Was it true you were cut twice as a middle schooler?
Yep. So both years didn't make the team.
You're just a late bloomer or were you trash?
I wasn't trash. I wasn't trash. I wasn't the early kid in the early teens who was just outstanding. Cause you know, those are the kids that don't make it past high school baseball.
Yeah.
So I didn't blossom late. I wasn't bad. I mean, definitely should have made the team. But you know, as everything in life, politics get involved and parents with money get involved. And you know, I'm not saying that a lot of guys didn't deserve their spots. They definitely did, but I definitely deserve my spot on that team. And you know, I will never give that guy credit because they're always like, oh, I bet that motivated you more. Well, no, it didn't.
Yeah.
This was always,
you want that.
That was always my goal from day one anyway. Like when I started loving baseball, I wanted to be a big league baseball player. And that guy was just my speed bump to get past.
Yeah, totally.
And then he had the actual audacity when I came back years later and like told me you're welcome to my face in the middle of the high school. Cause I was with my high school coach who was like,
you're welcome.
I'm like best, like one of my best
friends. Take credit for that.
And I literally told him to go himself in the middle of high school and gave him like, dude, like you didn't do anything.
That's unreal.
Didn't do anything for me. Get out of here.
Yeah. That really helped you. Really helped you do that. Yeah. That's insane. So obviously you saw the intro, man. We had the Ric Flair. Woo! We had that. I get so when I used to play, I took on the persona of Hulk Hogan, brother. But what made you take on Ric Flair? What was it that like stuck out to you? Were like, I gotta bring this.
So it was funny. I've always been a big wrestling guy. Come up through the minors, used Triple H, who's my absolute favorite, always has been. His intro music is my most favorite of all time. Got my blood flowing the most. Just all about the game. And I come to Houston, and I don't know what I'm going to use because I'm always obviously going to use a wrestling song. I just didn't know what I was going to use yet. And like day three, game three of this 27-17 season, we're in like the 11th or 12th inning of a game, midweek, like hardly anybody there. And if you've ever been to a wrestling event, you know, when you start walking in, it's the whole arena like, woo, woo, all around. And so like the 11th inning, Minute Maid Park, now Daikin Park, starts going, woo! And I was like, Ric Flair.
Yeah.
That's it. I found
it. It's what the people want.
Next day, roll out there, get a good reaction by the weekend of like the fifth or sixth game, Saturday's game, half the stadium. Woo! Every time. And then it just took off, man. It just took off. Had a great year. Obviously, we won the World Series. And then it was like the only time in my career where I haven't switched walk-up songs mid-season, like for no joke, like 3 or 4 years straight, It was Ric Flair's theme, and I had never done that in Oakland. I never did that with Boston. I never did that in the minors. So shows you how big that it actually moved, and the fans really took off with it. The Astros took off with it, like made animations for the board with Ric Flair on it. Ric Flair comes in, throws out the first pitch, just all kinds of great things. And, you know, it actually made me and Rick close. And I met Rick back in Boston when he came into the Red Sox clubhouse when we were doing our September beer and chicken flaps thing, trying to boost our spirits. So I've met him a couple of times. And that's actually the connection I got to be like good buddies with him and exchange numbers with him. And
oh, cool.
Got to hang out with him more and more. So it's cool that I've gotten to be into the wrestling world as much as I have been.
No, it was great. When I was watching that speech, man, as soon as you took the stage, obviously you had your WWE belt there, but you could just hear all the fans just wooing just as soon as you grabbed the mic. I was like, that is freaking cool.
And the best part, I didn't even know I was going to do a speech. Like,
they wanted you.
They just put on me. Like, I expected like Dallas Keuchel, maybe Verlander, like Correa, Altuve say something. And then like I think it was AJ. Like, just goes up there, and I got somebody that I think you're all going to want to hear. And I'm like, me? Like, you got to give me a heads up. Like, you got to give me something. Like, so that was all ad lib. Like, and obviously, I knew I was going to do the Ric Flair limousine riding stunt. But I would have done something way better. Like, and in the Houston, we don't have a problem. We have a championship. Like, that was all right on the
spot.
That was
great.
I didn't know what
that was great.
To say.
That was great.
And I ended up signing like a million things with that saying. I was like, man, if I'd known this, I'd have made it shorter.
Yeah. That's awesome, man. Speaking of walk-up music. So again, when I put this in the intro too, dude, I want to let you know in 2021, my most listened to song of the year, Careless Whisper. What made that your song in Oakland?
So 2014, I'm having an awful start to my season. Team's doing great. And we're just sitting in the clubhouse one day, and you know it's Oakland, so I don't even think we had very good technology. We're still listening to like satellite radio and the old black and white plug-in with the auxiliary plug-in. Randomly comes on in the clubhouse. I'm like, pretty sure there was a wrestler that used this too, some form of Careless Whisper. And I was like, you know what? Let's try it. Let's see what happens. Screw it. And so I was like, I talked to the guy. I said, put it on tonight. Go out there, 2 for 4, hadn't hit a homer in like a month, hit a homer that hit the top of the fence, bounced over. I'm like, well, it's not going anywhere now. And I ended up like having a really good month, like got hot that month, and then just continued on to finish really strong that season. And it stuck. And I didn't go back to it the next year until like halfway through. Like I waited for a Friday, like giveaway night, because in Oakland, you know, it's usually opening day. And then, like, giveaways are our big sellouts. So I waited for, like, a giveaway and didn't tell anybody, and I brought it back on, like, a Friday night, and the place erupted. It's kind of like, you know, that wrestling return,
yep,
so to speak. So, because I was sucking at the plate. That's all it was. It was a slump buster. That's exactly what it was. It got me out of it. And, you know, I could have probably chosen any other song in the world that night and still went 2 for 4, but.
Hey, that's baseball, baby.
We're superstitious, or we're a little stitious. It doesn't
a little stitious. Just a little stitious.
You got to stick with what works. And if it ain't, it's like the old NFL commercials. The guy's in the basement and his team scores a touchdown, and they send him all back down there.
Same shit.
Kind of like, get your butt back down there. We scored.
That's sick, man. That's sick. I think that's the perfect way that should be. Yeah. All right. You guys were a damn good team in Oakland from 2012 to 2014. You guys were a playoff team, and then 2015 the team took a different look. This trend seems to kind of keep on happening with the A's. What do you think that is for?
I really don't know. I mean, other than money, I mean that's all it is, which is wild because John Fisher's got all the money in the world to make teams great, and what he's doing to that team is absolutely atrocious. I mean, you think about it. I always tell people like. From 2012 to, you know, 2017, 18. Like, you take those players, those really good players from those years, if he pays half of them, the Astros may not be what they are.
Like, look at the talent there.
Like, I mean, 2012, you go with guys like, you never knew it, like Jared Parker. Like, Jared Parker could have been unstoppable if he didn't have elbow issues. You sign, let's just say, I'm going to start with myself. You keep me in right. Whatever. You keep me in right field. Center field, you progress to like what? Ramon Laureano, I guess, would probably be the better center fielder. And then your left fielder.
He's like, a stud there.
Do you keep Cespedes? No, maybe. I mean, Lester was a big move. But I mean, you had hole. You got people to fill that. Like Chet Pinder, I don't think got enough love than he deserved. That guy should have been playing every day. Could have been a very easy 30 home run guy, 30 guy, fast. Think about him now. He could have played great now. Utility guys have become such a common thing on teams now. He could have been such a great player.
Yeah, play everywhere.
Yeah, and then you go to infield. Like you have Matt Olson, Matt Chapman on the corners. You keep Marcus Semien.
Second
base, you figure out. Like you find a free agent. Your pitching staff was, oh, my gosh.
Yes.
Like, you keep guys over the course of those years. Like Chris, you traded for Chris Bassett. Like Chris Bassett was very good. Sean Manaea in his prime was very good. The bullpen when they had Trinan, like all those guys. All those guys throwing bullets out of the bullpen, like that would have been a team, especially during that stretch in the AL West. Like the AL West was up for grabs out those whole years. Like we chased the Rangers, who had just come off back-to-back World Series appearances. Yep. Like Seattle stunk. the Astros during those periods stunk. Who am I missing? The Angels, man.
Yeah. Trout. It was winnable.
But I mean, it was winnable. Like that team, those teams could have ran away with that division. And then once, 16, 17, 18 ran around, it would have been fun to watch Astros and A's. Because even then, it was still fun to watch the Astros and A's because those were two very good teams that went at it. But, we were just the better team at that time. But that could have been a very good 8 to 10 year run had they paid guys. And, it's kind
retaining of their stars, their stars at all.
You could have bought a lot of guys out through arbitration and saved money in the long run. Like that would have been no problem. You could have extended them through arbitration and bought out 3 years of free agency. And
that's what you're seeing now.
I tried my butt off to stay there. And, it was embarrassing the offer I got.
Really?
Before I was a free agent. Like they offered me like 11 and 3 years and like 34 or something, 35 million. And I was coming to my free agent years, like the highly free agent outfielder. And I told him, like, screw you guys. You just paid Billy Butler 3 years, $33 million, and all he does is DH. Like, I'm barely more valuable than that guy.
Yeah, gold glove. I mean, you can see it in the back.
I've been the heart of this team for 4.5 years, bro.
Yeah.
Come on.
Like, yes.
There's got to be some loyalty there. I'm a fan favorite. Like, that's what it's all like. That's what it's about. Like, if you get a fan favorite who performs well and got it, the people that come to pay to watch him, like, I know we're not a big market team. I'm not asking for 5 out of 100. And that was what I was projected to make before I got hurt. But I was like, hey, I said, you give me 5 and like 75. And I think we were comparing it like, because that's what BJ Upton got.
Okay.
A couple years prior. Like, you give me 5 and 75, I'll sign tomorrow. In spring training. And they're like, oh, we'll get back to you. I'm like, that's a huge discount.
Gosh.
That's $5 million a year discount for you. And you're saying you got to think about it. Like, and it was an open. I probably only made like $42 million.
Yeah. Yeah, with tax. Yeah, 100%. I mean, and that's where it starts, I think, for those guys, because it's they bring the talent, they develop the talent, they have good talent. You've listed the names, but it's retaining the stars. It's like, how many stars have they retained in the last 13 years that they've actually kept? Exactly. Like, if anyone becomes good enough, it's like, oh, sweet, he's going to go elsewhere.
Get prospects and restart that cycle.
Yeah, and it's just. It's like it feels like we're doing the same song and dance every 3 or 4 years.
For a franchise, it used to be so big on winning.
Yes,
and doing everything to win and doing it. And it's wild to me. It's wild, and that's where and that died when. I mean, it hasn't died. It's been dead, but it's even more dead now. Leaving Oakland, like nobody wants to come watch the A's in Sacramento. I'm sorry, great city. Sacramento's a great city. It's just. You hear players talk about it. It's not big league vibes. Like, that's just what it is.
Well, think about the days when you were playing and the crowds that would be there in the height of that time, right? This was, and it feels so separated now, but think about it, even a couple years ago, last couple years in Oakland, obviously with them basically rioting it and protesting, going to the games comparatively to playoff time when you're around there. What's the difference? My God. Like Oakland wants to be there. Oakland fans want it there.
They want to be there. They're there. If the team's going to try, they're there. I mean, you look at like what they actually tried in 14, and that's probably what scared them is they traded Cespedes and we got Lester. But you still made the playoffs. We have quite possibly one of the best, most top wild card games ever. One of the top playoff games ever against the Royals that year. But it's not because you traded Cespedes, it's because you didn't have a catcher who could throw a base runner out stealing second. That's all that was. Like, you got John Lester, who we know doesn't pick over to first. You got guys that are 1-7s at the plate. Like, what are they supposed to, like, get a catcher throws? Like,
I just, yeah.
That's all it was. We got beat by the stolen base that year.
Ah, man. No, definitely a tough one. But I'll say this. I can see in the back of your picture there. There's something gold back there. I wonder, with your gold glove in 2012, do you ever like wear it around? Do you ever like just see what it feels like?
No, it's a display item only. But for those that don't know, gold gloves are actually gloves. They're leather gold plated gloves. So you can put them on, you can squeeze them, and I mean, they're legit gloves. So
that's insane.
If you ask players always told me it's like the second best award you can win behind an MVP because they're so hard to win. And that's true because, you know, I only got one in my career. And it was ironically there I hit 32 homers. But we won't dig that deep into it. But, yeah, it's a great award to win. Like, it's such a great event, too, because you get to fly to New York and go to the special dinner that the MLB host and Raleigh. The only thing about it, I was a Wilson guy. So I didn't get the patch on my glove, but I did kind of put like gold laces in there. There were hints of it. But always super jealous of guys who got the gold patch.
It looks sick.
Even the platinum patch. But I just, sorry, Rawlings, your glove just didn't do it for me.
couldn't convince him, man. Not even with the gold.
Too stiff.
Exactly. No, and was there ever a time like during the year, like in 2012, where you were like, I think I'm going to win this thing?
No, not at all. Not at all. Nope. You know, I was only 25 at the time, and 25 was a very young age in the league that year. But no, I never really focused on trying to win. It was crazy because I knew that I led the right or all right fielders and outfield assists because it seemed like every other week somebody was trying to run on me, and I'd throw them out, and then they just stopped running on me like halfway through the season because I think I had like 8 through the first half.
Damn,
it was a pile. And then they stopped running on me. And then, like, I always said to the media, I was like, it's crazy because, like, I turn on the TV and everybody's running on Jeff Francoeur. And I'm like, Jeff Francoeur is like, got a stronger arm, just as accurate as I've been, and they keep running on him. And I'm like, it's wild. And they stopped to me, but I was like, sweet, it helps us out. But, no, never really thought about winning one ever. It was just all about getting me out wherever I could. And if it happened, it happened.
For some reason, if you ever find yourself Googling Josh Reddick nutsack, this picture shows up every time. Explain yourself.
So it's 2014. At the end of the year, we're in Arlington, Texas. We had a rough September in Oakland. We had, you know, kind of been battling for that last wild card spot all year. Needed to win on the last day to get the last wild card spot. So everything was crazy. I had these lucky superhero underwear that I wore kind of before the Speedo times. And so everybody was going crazy. We took a little team picture of us celebrating and something popped out. I had no idea. I also had no idea it was going on the internet at the time. I couldn't even tell you what teammate did it, but nobody knew what was happening, what was hanging out at the time. So until it got to the Twitter, and people obviously had more time on their hands than we did to look at it, and it became a little bit of a thing. So, yeah. There's
a ball
hanging out. So I apologize for those who have seen it. I apologize for those who will see it. Not my proudest moment in my career.
Not my proudest moment. Hey, man, I felt there. It shows your character. It shows something else, but it shows your character.
It shows something.
It shows something, all right. All right, dude. Let's rock and roll. I know before the show we've talked, you want to talk about it. We want to clear the air. It's definitely a topic. What happened in 2017 in Houston?
So, you know, in Major League Baseball, that year, everybody got a camera center field for video reasons. Kind of came along to where, you know, we felt like an advantage was needed and it was something that needed to be called up to the league because we were told by someone, we won't name names, excuse me, who said there are other teams already doing this and there's something we need to do. We're already a great team, but if other teams are doing it, then we need to do it as well because it's just, you know, it's baseball. We're going to find the advantage. We're baseball players. We're going to take that, whatever it takes to get that advantage. So slowly developed into everything you read about, you know, trash can was a system. There were several guys, and I will be always animate about this, 3 guys who didn't use it. You're looking at one. Because I told the guys, like, look, this is wrong, and I can't do it. Like, if I know what's coming, I can't do it. I can't even get told from second base what's coming because I'll swing. whether it's a neck ball or a meatball.
Yeah.
I just can't do it. And so there was me, Altuve, and Tony Kemp. Those are the three guys who had no desire to use this system, and we did it. And it's crazy how much crap I get daily for it, because you turn on the TV and then there's Altuve still getting booed because he's the guy who had to go to the podium on that awful day in spring training and just wear it for everybody, for the organization. And so it sucks hearing him get booed left and right, but he seems to thrive on it. So which is great, because he's still a great player.
Of course.
Hall of Famer, easily.
No doubt.
So yeah, it's just something that got developed to where we felt like it was needed. The other teams were doing something, so we needed to do something. And I will always say this as well, like all those teams that complain about the playoffs, like if you've ever been to a Major League Baseball playoff game, tell me if you can hear the person next to you. And you're going to tell them that our team could hear
a knock.
And a sellout at Houston. Like, get the F out of here with that. Like, and then to continue that, like a buzzer, we're going to accuse Altuve of wearing a buzzer. Like, what are we talking about in baseball here? Like, are you kidding me? Like, go back to the 2019 game where he took Chapman deep. Nobody pays attention to the, like, five-pitch walk to Springer. Couldn't throw a fastball for a strike. Starts Altuve off with two fastballs nowhere close as a 2-0 slider. What are you sitting on?
Yeah.
Well, I'm sitting on a 2-1 slider. And if you want to dig in farther and then dig in deeper to that, like, does anybody know who was on deck?
I'm trying to think.
No, you don't. You don't. Jake Marisnik. I love Jake Marisnik.
So are you trying to walk? Yeah, are you trying to walk to get
who do you want to face?
Yeah. Like,
you want to face a Hall of Famer or do you want to face Jake Marisnik? Like, that's like saying, do you want to face George Springer or do you want to face me? Huge difference. Like, and I love Jake. That's not a bash to Jake Marisnik, but he's not.
That's just reality. It's just reality. No, Jake wasn't known for his bat.
Jake Marisnik gets a 3-run homer off of you.
Tip the cap, man.
Good job, bud. But, you know, we're talking about Altuve. Now you got to look at it and say, well, you know, their best player beat us. It's, you know, so there's that. But yeah, I mean, it's, you know, it happened, you know, and I'll always be open about it because I never did anything. But everybody that reads everything about it is true. Like, we had a trash can right there. It was getting hit. And I will also point out the rat that ratted everybody out was down there bashing the trash can half the time anyway.
Really?
That's something that's never talked about either. He was down there supporting that system. So it's not like he was hanging out in the dugout like, oh, this is so wrong.
Yeah. What was your reaction?
Remember that. He was there helping too, even though he was snitching on us.
And that, what was your reaction when the news broke? Did you have an inkling that it would have been fires, or did you have what was going through your head?
I was mind blown at first. When I found out who it was, I was not surprised. Never really was a fan of his in the first place before I met him. And then as time progressed, I didn't really like him much either as a teammate. He was just didn't really seem like that team guy, and he just. As it shows, obviously, what he did is not a team guy move. And, you know, all it was him getting upset that he lost his rotation spot to Justin Verlander. That's all it was. Like, and I'm not here to bash the guy all the time. You know, he's done what he's done. And but there's things that make him stand out that I won't say, to where he had zero respect from players before that happened. And so there's that, yeah. So he just wasn't a good teammate, not in my opinion, not a really good person. But I, like I said, I'm not here to bury the guy because I don't want people doing what happened to us. Like, you know, I got death threats from this crap.
Exactly. This wasn't.
I'm not here to put that on a human being by any means. So yeah.
So when this all kind of started, so was it like, when it hit you guys, this information of like, hey, we're doing this, was it like just a meeting that came together? Or how did it kind of go along?
So I think it became more of like, I can't get this out of my throat. Sorry.
You good, man. That's what she said. Thank you. Oh, that's what we like, Josh, right there.
Yeah. So it, you know, the aftermath was wild because, you know, we all had to go through this like big investigation process, talk to federal judges over the phones via our agents. And then out of nowhere, like, apparently we just wanted to have a team meeting in West Palm Beach before spring training started. Like, this is before COVID happened. So, like, I think early February, they're like, hey, we need everybody in West Palm in 2 days. And I'm like, bro, I've got 4-month-old twins.
Yeah.
Like, I can't just up and leave. And I did. Springer calls me and goes, hey, I'm getting a private jet down there. Hop on. We'll go down there and come right back. All right, whatever. So we go down there and we sit in that clubhouse for, I think, like 5 hours that night and just try to figure out what the hell we're going to say, how we're going to approach this, and just discussed how we were going to handle it. And I just remember being there and going, this is just awful. Like,
yeah.
And then everybody's wanting to go in, like, they want all of us to go in front of the media. And I'm calling my agent and they're like, dude, absolutely not. Like, you're not going to be a guy who goes up to that podium. Like, you're not the face of this franchise. Like, you stay in the shadows and you hang back. Like, you know. And then when media comes to you, they talk to you. And I literally waited that day when they all came in. I knew I wasn't going to get talked to first.
Yeah.
So I literally hung outside the clubhouse waiting. I waited for the big wigs to get all their stuff out of the way. And I told our guys, I said, hey, look, when they're all settled in, I'll come in and I'll talk. Because I don't want to repeat myself. I want to get this done one time. And so I went in there and I told them what I said. And that's probably why I'm hated so much by a lot of fan bases, because I spoke my mind. I didn't quote anything. You know, they said, do you feel like there's a need to reach across the league to players and apologize? And I go, no. Mm-hmm. And they go, why? I said, they know why. That's it. I left that. Why do they know? I said, go ask them. They know.
Yeah.
Why. Other teams, they know why. And I kept it to that. I'm not here to snitch on other guys. I'm not here to tell other teams that they did something. That's their thing. Like, that's a brotherhood. Whether I play against them or not, or I like it, that's a brotherhood that Mike Fires will never be in ever again. Like, that's something you respect. Not only disrespect your team, but everybody that's put on a big league uniform. What happens in the clubhouse stays in the clubhouse.
And that's what I think that's interesting about this, is because, you know, when people talk about this, they're like, oh, you know, they only are apologizing because they got caught. It's not that they got caught. Someone told information of it. So it makes you think.
And it wasn't illegal. Nothing we did was illegal.
Nothing was in the books. Rule book
about using that camera that MLB provided to get that advantage and relay that sign. Like, there was nothing against it.
But it makes you think, Josh, at least from my perspective, it makes you think when you hear that, it's like, who else is doing that? You know, because it's like, how many teams didn't have a situation of a person who was upset with the org, who went to a different org and said, hey, they won the World Series. They did this. Yeah. So it makes you think what else is going on? Obviously there's other instances, whether alleged or proven, of that.
It's proven amongst the guys, but you know, it'll never reach out. You know, there's a team who I know and heard from a very reliable source who literally knocked out a wall in their stadium around their dugout and built a room just for that reason. I don't know how they relayed the signs, but they built a room and sealed it off so nobody like really knew it was there for that reason.
Well, I mean, and think about the competitive advantage, and I'll bring that back to you for you. I think that's very interesting, because I always thought about it too, where, you know, where you said the names, Altuve, you and Tony Kemp, that didn't want it. Talk about that a little bit. I think that's very interesting. Talk to me why you didn't want it.
Well, I mean, first off, I told the guys when we had this talk about it, like, it's wrong. Like, I thought it was wrong because I felt like that was cheating. Like, it for me, it felt wrong. And I told them, guys, I'm like, this is wrong. You know, it's, you know, and I don't think I ever say anything like that comes out. Like, I want to be omitted from it, because I'm just as guilty, I think, as my teammates. And I'll admit that, you know, guilty by association. I knew about it, but like, again, it wasn't illegal technically yet. So that was kind of my gray area where I kind of floated in. And, you know, I'm not going to stop you guys from it, but I'm also not going to be the guy down there banging. That's what it is. And I think Altuve was kind of the same way. I never talked to him about it, but I just don't think he wanted to know either, because of being wrong. And for, I think the same, you see Altuve now, he'll swing at a ball three feet in the box and miss it, and then hit one 6 inches off the plate for a homer the other way. So like, he'll swing a lot of stuff anyway, but like, I was like, I think we were both kind of alike, where if we knew it was coming, we were going to swing as soon as it was coming. And it was just something built into us where we had to be reaction hitters.
It took the game out of it. I could see where it's like, it wasn't a game where you're reacting, like you said, the reactionary to it, where it's like, if you're like off speed, I know off speed, you know, it's almost like too much information for your body to like just play the game with.
It is. And it's different when you're facing a guy who, you know, like, there's guys who sit on a changeup who threw a lot of changeup. That's different.
Totally.
If I saw a fastball, I wouldn't wait on it. If I saw a change of it, I was sitting on it, I could still spin on it if it was out of the zone.
Yes.
As opposed to knowing 100%, like, this is what I'm going to get. I'm going to try to swing and hit it into the second deck.
Total difference too. You know, I agree. But no, it's especially when all of that is going on. I guess what was the, so obviously when this was constructed, were you guys, what was the tone of the team when this kind of came out? Was it kind of in between? What was kind of the tone of when this was brought up?
When it was brought up to do, or when it
to do.
I mean, I think we were all kind of pretty stoked. I mean, everybody, yeah. we came out of a hitters only meeting, pretty stoked about it because we you know, I don't think hardly any of us knew about it. Like, I think the guy who brought it to us, I think is the only guy who knew that this was happening in baseball. And I damn sure didn't know about it coming from Oakland. I didn't know about it coming from LA. Like, it was just something that, you know, even if LA did something that year, I didn't know about it. And there's no way, because I would have known about it. So it's just something that came out of nowhere for me. So I think that was kind of a surprise for a lot of guys. But I think that we were all kind of stoked about it because we felt like we were back to being even keeled in our process. And if you watch back a lot of games, like Brian McCann was so anal about his science to his pitchers. Like, you look at all the mound visits in the World Series, you look at all the mound visits in the playoffs, you look at all the mound visits in the seasons, where like they were kind of listening and trying to figure out how to do their signs hitter to hitter. I'd be underneath listening to Verlander and McCann go over their signs for inning, and I'd be like, dude, how the F do you remember that?
Unreal.
It's like, if we go 0-1, it's outs, chase this, plus three. And I'm like,
yes.
Bro, how can you think about that when you're trying to face like Miguel Cabrera? Like, what?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I have a hard time looking at my outfield coach and going like,
what? Two steps, three steps.
But that just goes to show those guys, like, it shows you how crazy a job of a catcher is. Like, McCann was one of the best, obviously should be in the Hall of Fame.
Oh yeah.
But like, shows you how great he was, because this guy was a really good switch hitter, or not a switch hitter, dummy. He was a really good hitter, and then obviously a really great catcher, and everybody wanted to throw to him. So it just shows how crazy guys were about getting signs stolen from them.
And what was it like for you after? So not just like the immediately after. Obviously, it was probably like going to a funeral when you were talking, like approaching the media and everything like that. But then being a Major League Baseball player, going to a stadium with this cloud, whether obviously you being in the list of names of people who didn't participate, but still the cloud of this guy played for that team. What was that like playing with that?
It's not easy even to this day. Like, even being retired for 4 years now, it's not easy. So I can't imagine those guys going through that. I think, you know, as much as I hate the COVID season, I think the COVID season really ended my career at my age, and for a lot of guys too, like guys like Jay Bruce, a lot of older guys got ruined by COVID. But, you know, in 2021, it's actually funny. I always tell people, like, I was set up by teams in Major League Baseball, whether it's true or not. I still think it's funny because I was the first guy to go back to Dodger Stadium from that team. And it was with the Diamondbacks.
The first guy.
It was with the Diamondbacks. Like, it's wild because I think the stars aligned for everybody, because I didn't sign until like 2 weeks into the Major League season that year. And I went to AAA with the Diamondbacks. I went to like the practice site. And then I played 2 weeks in Reno. And then I get called up to LA to play a night game travel day. It's the last game of the series to face David Price. You know, the last time I started against David Price, like 2014.
Yeah.
This is 7 years later. Yeah. They told me I wasn't set up. But it was wild, because like, as soon as I got to the clubhouse, I called a team meeting and I knew maybe four guys. Like, I'd known Mad Bum. I knew Christian a little bit. Like, I went out, I said, look, guys, anything you want to know about 17, just come ask me. I'll gladly explain everything to you. I just want to say I apologize for what's about to happen tonight, because it's going to be freaking crazy. But it's all going to be on me. So that's one positive. But there's going to be wild things. So, and you know, the crazy support I got from those guys, like Mad Bum came up and gave me a hug and says, bro, we ain't going to let nobody mess with you. We're going to fight tonight.
That's cool.
We got to fight. We're going to fight. And that's And I thought that was good, because all these guys came up to me and said, hey, man, we're with you no matter what. So, yeah, it was great. You know, by my last at bat, we were losing, I think, like by five, and the whole stadium in unison, cheater, cheat. And like, even the organist was Bob Dieterule, I think is what his name. played the Oregon, I saw the sign. So they were all very well prepared, as I'm sure, like, I'm sure they sold plenty of last minute tickets to that game. Just to come boo me. So
just the boo birds, yeah.
I brought in hundreds of thousands of dollars for the Dodgers that night.
Hey, you come in the league an entertainer, you leave an entertainer, man.
That's what they say in wrestling. Either you're a heel or you're a face. But as long as you're getting paid attention to, you're doing something right.
Who gives a shit?
What was it? People, when somebody said, you know, fans don't boo scrubs.
Yeah. 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 You hate me? You love me? You watched.
The Miz said the best. My haters love me.
That's it, though. I mean, that's it. And I guess, like, especially when you're talking the heel, like, you have to almost embrace that.
Absolutely.
Like, because there's no other – there's no – if you try to fight that and try to be the face out of this, it just ain't going to work.
We're entertainers. When you break it down, we're entertainers. Yes, it's our job. Yes, it's the game. But, you know, between hitting and playing, like, entertaining is our job. And that's what I thought was crazy, because, like, my time with Oakland was always bantering with my right field guy. And then first game back, and, you know, I know a lot of these guys. Like, I'd party with these guys. I'd invited a lot of them to my house after day games to come chill, like, barbecue, hang out, have some drinks. Became really good friends of mine. And so, like, it was more than just a, like, player-fan connection. Like, these were really good friends of mine. Being so far away from home, they gave me a sense of home, gave me people to hang out with, help keep my sanity. And then my first game back as an Astro, like, I said, guys, you can give me the ovation, whatever you want to call it. I said, but by the time the freaking bottom of that first rolls out there, I want to hear it. Yeah. I said, I'm CM Punk of you. You give me everything you got. And by the bottom of the first, Redick, you suck!
Yeah.
It was great. It was great. And then they do, like, every time they score, they did, like, a little chant, like, we love you, Oakland. We do. And then they'd always have the right fielder, not you, Redick. And I was like, yes, this is so much fun. So
that's great.
Like, even going back to Dodger Stadium, like, there was really no funny stuff. It was always just you suck, you cheater, with some explicitives in there. So, but it was as much as it stunk to go back, it was still pretty cool. And then later that year, I got to have my first pitching appearance there. So that was even better, because I got to warm up. I got to warm up in the pen. I'm getting heckled in the pen. I did the run-in from the bullpen, getting booed. We're losing by 20. And then I go up there and I, like, serve up a homer to Albert Pujols, and I'm just smiling on the mound. Everybody's cheering. I'm like, this is so great. Ball fly out. Like, this is so awesome. I just gave up a homer to Albert Pujols. Like, this is so cool.
Yeah, where does that stack up on your career accomplishments?
Oh, it's up there. It's like, he was already chasing 700. And, you know, he was at the time where, like, it could have been an important home run I'd given up. So, and I think I was the first position player he'd hit one off of too. So pretty cool. I'm in the record books for several things. I'm in the record book as a pitcher now.
Hey, man, you got to take it where you can get it, you know?
Hey, I got a better ERA than a lot of the world.
Hey, what is it? I didn't do enough deep digging.
That's, I'm not a good math person on ERA. So I pitched 1/3 of an inning, gave up 2 earned.
Okay.
Like 20 to 30, 20-ish, something like that.
You know, it depends on how you look at it, but that could be serviceable. Could be serviceable.
I faced 4 hitters, gave up 2 hits, a walk, and got an error. No, I got 2 out. I pitched 2/3. I take that back.
Hey, give yourself some credit, man.
First, I hit a rocket for an out. Then I gave a 2-run homer. Then I gave up a double to a relief pitcher. I gave a double to a relief pitcher. It was beautiful. He hit the shit out of that ball. And then I got another ground out. So I could take 4 hitters, 2 hits, 2 outs.
Hey, there's something to it. If someone's ever thought of making a comeback,
no. I don't throw hard. I only threw like 89, 90. I got no shot. Maybe I throw under the speed now. I might have a shot of missing barrels.
Hey, there you go. You could be a little, little sub comeback as a sub guy, maybe. Comeback as a sub. But speaking of that Oakland, dude, I was watching your Oakland comeback when you came back for Houston. Mm-hmm. And they played Careless Whisper. The crowd was digging it, was feeling it. What was your feeling there?
Man, a lot of emotions, like happy to be back, sad to be on that side at times. But, you know, looking out there in right field, because they put that big old banner that said orange ain't your color.
Yep.
And they weren't wrong. My least favorite color on the color wheel, Georgia Bulldog, Florida Gators. And then, you know, of course, I win a World Series ring that has orange in it, which, you know, not mad at. But not my favorite color by any means. But it was crazy and cool to see the support coming back for the visiting player, but like you just go back to that being that bad guy again. Like it was so cool to have that moment for, you know, 2 seconds. And then I got, you know, the little tribute video they did pregame was awesome. And, you know, shed a tear. And I don't know why they still don't say, I don't know why they say there's no crying in baseball when there's a lot of crying in baseball.
There's gotta be, there's gotta be.
There's plenty of it. So, but you know, after that moment's over, it's right back to baseball. So it was this quickly short lived moment to get there and enjoy. But at the same time, it was back to business. It was good to see the guys every day that day, but
that's great.
We're back to winning baseball.
Oh, but absolutely. I got one more question for you. And then we have a special induction ceremony for you, Mr. Josh, that I'm hope you're excited for. Cause I am.
I'm excited.
So, and I think about this a lot, and I know we talked about it a bit, and I've been very thankful of your answers, man. You've been killing it. But the 2012 Cardinals, they had the cyber hacking, obviously 2017 Astros, allegedly the 2017 Yankees, 2018 Red Sox. How common do you think cheating is in baseball today?
Today, it's probably down a lot in today's world because there are so many more cameras and people watching. Like there's, I don't even know if they still have like MLB security that walks through during the game. You know, at the end of my career, you couldn't even be on your phone during the game because MLB would come in there and think you were doing something. So I don't know how it's handled now, but I think it's definitely very minimal if possible. Like the sticky stuff checks now, like we didn't even talk about that. Like sticky stuff used to be such a common thing in baseball. So now that's not even a thing, that checking, video checking, so many people that got hired for these things that keep an eye on it. I think it's
totally
probably, it's definitely not zero, but it's probably minimum.
Yeah. And I guess what would your, cause obviously when it comes to cheating, there's this like fine gray area of that, but then like picking signs from second base. And that's been a lot of,
that's just where you go. That's part of the game.
100%.
And if you're not smart enough to make that adjustment as a pitcher or catcher, and well, I guess at that point it's a pitcher because you got pitch calm now. Mm-hmm. So if you're dumb enough to be like this
and just showing you
or this or that, like that's on you, bro. Like
that's the game.
I'm not supposed to ignore you showing me blatant obvious signs. That's like saying like I can't look at a third base coach who's over here doing this and go, yeah. Oh, we got a steal sign.
Exactly.
He's going like this.
Yeah.
Same concept. Like figure it out. Learn how to hide the pitch.
No, 100%, man. That's the game. I think that's gamesmanship when it comes down to it. And it's like if you can't hide it, someone's gonna pick it.
Yeah, I mean, there's always gonna be something. Because like, what was it? Black Sox from like the 20s.
Yeah.
Did something. So like, there's always gonna be something to where you're gonna have to make that adjustment and turn the page.
It's competitive advantage, man. And that's just the way I look at it. Like even throughout the 2012, 2017, 2018 Red Sox, it's like. Everyone's trying to do this. And there's obviously like you guys get called out as the black cloud of it, but it's like, and I think it's only because you won the World Series.
That's it. If we don't win, he probably doesn't even say anything, but yeah, if we don't win, nobody says anything. Like,
exactly.
We move on. But yeah, it's definitely because we won, but like, that's where it goes back to like, bro, we beat you in the playoffs. Like we won what we beat. We beat the Red Sox on the road to move on. We, you know the Yankees. The Yankees only won 3 games at home that year, too. And look at the run differential from their home games to their road games. Like, they scored, like, 3 total runs in 4 games in Houston and, like, 20-3 at home. So,
Yeah, no. I saw your tweet. You had, like, a tweet battle with a guy about take a look at what they did.
Oh, yeah. They were doing something. I mean, it was completely obvious. Like, there was something there. Numbers don't lie. So, I mean, it's just completely different. And then, like, there's another aspect to cheating where, like, I knew guys had people in the outfield with binoculars, like, going left or right, like in or out. Guy with a binocular literally do this and go, okay, lean to the left, lean to the right. And it made a lot of guys very good hitters in their respective ballparks.
And that's – and I know we've brought it up before, but that's what I really think it comes down to. It's like, okay, if Mike Fiers never said anything, this would never have happened. So it's like how much else is just within clubhouses as, you know, it's how many of this is just hasn't been brought up because some person didn't say something about it. So I always just find that very intriguing. It's obviously like there's a big dark cloud over it for good reason to some extent. Yep. And, but how much of it is really uncovered? And I think that's the interesting part that isn't talked about as much. Everyone just looks at it.
Another thing to talk about too is like this latest thing with the Red Sox on their iPads. Like, bro, like, there's nothing wrong with what they're doing. Like, there are a lot of iPads in the dugout. The guy's freaking tipping his pitches. Like,
yes.
What? Like, you're going to get mad at telling my hitters that you're doing this to this? Like,
of course. Of course.
And it's so dumb to have an argument saying that's cheating and that's wrong.
No, that's because that's, you're using the aids that you're having. Because all the only thing, so it makes it illegal because you're zooming in.
Yep.
You know, because you can watch the pitch. It's, you guys have the tablets to watch. Okay, what does this guy have? What does his delivery look like?
There's two of the best guys I've known in baseball who are good at picking up tipping pitches, and they're both on the Red Sox. One's Bregman and one's managing them.
Yep.
Corey and Bregman are the two absolute best at picking up something from this to like that. Did you even see that?
No.
He's talking about, he's like, dude, Red, he's doing this and like this. I'm like,
yeah,
you see, same thing.
Like, yeah, you see his chin tucks every time he throws a curveball.
Yeah. I'm like, oh, okay.
That's, you got, I never, it,
my contacts aren't as good, I guess.
I get, dude, I feel the same way. Whenever there's always one guy in the dugout who's just like a savant at it, right? And for me, it's like, I never, like, I couldn't watch it and be like, I see it. And even if I would maybe see it, I'd be like, oh, curveball, wrong. You know, like, it's,
oh, yeah. See, that,
credits those guys.
I think I'm pretty sure, because, like, in a perfect example, like, when in game 5 against Tampa in 2019, we were facing Glasnow. We put up like 4 against him in the first. He was tipping like crazy. And our guys are sitting on curveballs, 99,
that,
raking it. And then I'm like the 9-hole hitter. And I get up there, I'm like, okay. Oh, there it is. Oh, shit. You fixed it. Great, you fixed it. Like, this is great. You finally got it.
And then I remember that. Sorry, what'd you say?
He blew me away on 3 straight pitches.
Glasnow's a different animal, man, too. Yeah. But I think I remember that. It might have been Bregman. I remember there was like a shot of Bregman like whispering in I can't remember who the hitter was whispering in his ear, and I'm like, ooh, because that was the big thing, because Glasnow was tipping.
Probably not too, baby. Yeah.
No. And that's you know, that's the gamesmanship of the game, man. But hey, that's Josh. Josh, I seriously can't thank you enough for coming on, being just real with us. I think that's huge. That's what the fans want. That's what the people want. Being crystal clear with your answers. And seriously, I thank you a ton, man.
Yeah, thanks for having me, man. This is fun. I'm just being me, man. That's what it's about.
Hell yeah, Doc. You're the man. You're the man. But before we leave, we do have the whole reason we brought you here, Josh. I'm going to be completely honest. The only reason we brought you here is because you are a Hall of Pretty Gooder. The fans.
First class.
First class. We want to hear your speech. What do you have to 66% of people who voted for you, but also maybe the 34% who didn't?
I think we all know who the 34% came from, but you know, I'm not a big write down my speech guy. So I let this flow from the heart. First of all, I want to thank Bryce Whitlow and the HOPG for even considering me for this spectacle that I've been so fortunate to be a part of. It's been fun to watch what he's put through for this, for everything, for this account, for baseball. And he's a Red Sox fan. So we go way back. You know, we've talked a lot about how he watched me coming up as a rookie. I love seeing him support the Portland Sea Dog stuff and everything he does and what he's doing. So I really admire and respect what he's done, because he's made this grow to something I don't think he ever would have imagined. And he's gotten a lot of attention from players, former players, you know, plenty of accounts, teams that are following him now. So it's always great to see a guy start something and then grow into the game, because that's what it's about. It's about growing the game into something that it is. And, you know, to be considered for something for this is always a great honor, just to be brought back into the baseball world, because sometimes retired players can be easily forgotten about, especially when you're in that middle ground of not being a superstar and not being, you know, at the bottom of the barrel, so to speak. So it's always good to kind of float in the middle there. But huge thanks, because there's some great guys in here, guys that have made the inner circle. For those that don't know, that's when you get the highest percentage of votes in there. You get to go in your special little hall of your own. So just to be in the same building with all these guys that I've played with and gotten the pleasure to know is always a great honor. So thank you for everything. For those 34 that didn't vote for me, you can kiss my white butt. The 6 that did, I thank you very much for loving me and supporting me and making me a part of such an illustrious club. So thank you very much. And to those 34, go kick rocks.
I love it. And if I have to put a conclusion to that, I just have to say, woo!
Woo!
Oh yeah, Josh, you're the man. I appreciate your time, dude. I hope you have a great rest of your weekend, man. Thanks for hopping on.
Thanks, buddy.
All right. Thank you to the Baseballer Show fam out there for listening. Guys, follow us on Instagram. hit that notification button on Spotify. Make sure you guys are tuning in. We're going to be doing more stuff like this, guys, getting great guests just like Josh Reddick today. Tune in next Wednesday. We will be back yapping some more ball for you guys. In the meantime, peace.